Welcome to the podcast of Motorweek, television's original automotive magazine. Here's your Motorweek podcast host, John Davis.
Welcome, everyone, to our Motorweek podcast. This is podcast number 48. I'm, of course, John Davis. And around our table in the studio today are road test producer and two-wheeling reporter Brian Robinson.
Hello, John.
And our senior producer, Brian Roberts.
Hello out there.
Otherwise known around the office as BR and BR Square. So Robinson's BR Square, Roberts is BR, just in case I get totally confused. We've got all of our normal routine that we're going to go through on our podcast today, but we're really going to specialize on one very important annual event, and that's the 2011 North American International Auto Show from Detroit, generally considered the trendsetter for the auto shows in the U.S. and around the world. It's considered the big North American International Auto Show, hence the name. It was a very interesting show this year. Brian Roberts and I attended it. Brian Robinson surveyed it from back here. And I guess I'll start with both you guys. What was your overall impression of the show itself? Not so much individual vehicles, but what did you come away with as far as the tempo of the show?
Well, I think there was a lot of optimism out there about where everyone's going. You know, obviously this year manufacturers are expecting a rise in sales, and you could see the optimism with the vehicles they were showing. A lot of smaller vehicles, greener vehicles. Looks you know, very exciting.
BR Square, any different viewpoint from back here?
One thing I noticed just reading a lot online is a lot of the vehicles, especially the smaller vehicles like the GM, mm-hmm. so that was previously built overseas, now being built in America. There, I think there was a few cars. I think that's always good news.
Pretty also,
good
jobs a lot of the home. Ford new C-Class Ford. Vehicles they had, too. Yeah. That's a very interesting observation.
You know, I did find it pretty interesting that Ford announced that they're going to 7,000 new jobs in 2012, which is, you know, very
huge.
Exciting. Yeah, very huge. And 750 of those jobs are going to be for technology jobs, engineers. So very exciting there.
Polish up my resume.
No, you can't go anywhere. I need you. Okay, well, let's get down to specifics. Brian, Roberts, vehicles that most impressed you or you think will have the biggest impact, what would be your at the top of your list?
Well, I would just start off by saying that I think the Chrysler Group is back. I mean, Fiat, in such a short amount of time, has really turned them around. With a lot of the vehicles that they showed. And, I mean, the biggest one that they showed was the Chrysler 300. You know, a little more upscale, great interiors on all their products.
That's the thing that impressed me,
yes.
The quality of the interiors after having such horrible interiors mm-hmm. for the last half dozen years.
Yeah, and I think, that's what people want. And when they get in a vehicle, they want to feel, at home. They want to feel that sensation of, boy, this thing is really nice. And I think they've done a great job. And, they showed their new Jeep Compass. The front end on the Jeep looks great. And I think a lot of exciting things coming from them down the pipe here.
BR Square?
Probably the one that stood out to me most was the Hyundai Veloster, or I'm not sure how to pronounce
it. Very sexy look.
But,
very
sexy. Yeah. One of the few vehicles that seemed to really push styling.
Probably the only thing I saw that I would actually consider buying out of all these. And kind of similar to the Honda CRZ, kind of got the wraparound shades look mm-hmm. with the glass, and that looked pretty cool.
There were an awful lot of sedans or very practical vehicles. That's why I said it wasn't a show that, with the exception of the Veloster, that got your blood boiling. But when you looked around, you saw a lot of vehicles that people will buy. Like you had all these new vehicles from Ford, including their C-Max, their Micro minivan, which I will go up against the Mazda 5.
But seat 7 versus seat 6,
seven.
And, which Mazda 5 does.
Absolutely. And the fact they're going to build both a hybrid and an extended range Volt-like mm-hmm. Model of
Did
it.
Did you actually try the foot under the bumper door open thing? Or?
No, they didn't have one there that I saw that you could actually play with.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. You slide your foot under the bumper. You have your hands full of groceries.
Yeah, on the tailgate.
The tailgate. Tailgate lifts, yeah.
I guess in Europe, Volkswagen has a trunk on a car that does that, but this is the first vehicle has sort of a totally automatic hatch in this country.
It's going to be like Sync and My Ford Touch. Great idea, but it's probably not going to work that well.
Well, there are some ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, the car has to already be unlocked. And if you've got your hands full, you have to ask, is it really as practical as it? But it still, it was one of the few really cool innovations. Mm-hmm. I thought the Vertrek was interesting. Now, here's what they think, what they're basically saying is going to be the next escape, a very big departure, not boxy anymore, very sleek. I don't know.
A couple of different powertrains, too.
Yeah. Again, they're very good fuel-efficient powertrains. It left me sort of scratching my head and wondering whether, you know, a lot of people won't miss the traditional SUV look, but I don't know. I mean, it's like the Explorer.
Yeah. No one's making SUVs or that traditional look anymore. Everybody's getting
a couple. I mean, you could say Jeep still is, I guess, but – but that's about it. Maybe Honda.
Yeah, I was going to say it was nice to see Porsche back at the auto show after 3 years.
Yep.
And they kind of surprised everyone with their 918 RSR race car hybrid.
Yeah.
That was 700 and some horsepower. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, and he uses the flywheel type energy system, a hybrid system that Chrysler played around with for a while. Prius, speaking of fuel-efficient vehicles, Prius, as they say, Prius goes plural.
They're expanding their family.
They've got this Prius V coming out this year, which is basically a station wagon. Mm-hmm. And then the Prius C the year after that,
a little smaller one.
I was impressed with what Buick did with their Cruise vehicle. They took the Chevy Cruise, all different sheet metal, all different interior, and they're going to have their first compact sedan since the Skylark, the Verano. Still looks sort of like a Cruise to me, but I thought it was a very pretty looking car on the inside, and they say it's very quiet.
Was that you think that was made more for the U.S. or more for Chinese market?
I think it's both. I think, matter of fact, if I recall correctly, I think the Chinese designers had a lot to do with it. But all of these vehicles are answers to the new government fuel economy standards and perhaps rising fuel prices. I guess the one thing that got me is, why are we so sure Americans are going to buy a lot of small cars? Because they haven't in the past. Except when prices of fuel are up. So I think there's a lot of
they're going to go up
risk
this summer
here. Well, yeah, they are going to go up. But, you know, even you have to look at cars like the Hyundai Sonata, which even though it's a larger car, they've gone to four-cylinder engines and they're getting 30 miles per gallon.
Like the Passat. Is
that, like the Passat. Yeah. And like the new Jetta.
Right.
But the new Passat made a lot of news at the show.
It's big. It's a lot bigger. Kind of like the Jetta. They went almost the next size bigger. It was used to be one of the smallest in the class. Now it's, I think, one of the biggest, like a Accord size.
The back seat is unbelievable. I mean, if you put the seat all the way back in the front, you still have just a gigantic amount of leg room for a big guy like me in the back seat. Very impressive, and it'll be made in Chattanooga.
Speaking of American-made, we were talking earlier the new Sonic from Chevrolet, which was, I guess, the Aveo
replacement. The Aveo, but
very nice youthful appeal to it. I'm pretty impressed with that
thing. Very motorcycle looking inside and out with the headlights. And they're going to make it here.
Should get about 40 miles per gallon, they say. So
yeah, I think the 40 mile per gallon is going to be the big target for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Prius. We kind of glossed over that.
Yeah, we did.
Do you ever see Prius becoming like it's an old brand, like Scion?
I definitely think that's what they're doing. Okay. Although someone at Toyota, and I may have it wrong, I think someone at Toyota in the last few weeks said – someday they think that they may sell more Prius-branded vehicles than Toyota-branded vehicles. I find that very difficult to believe. But definitely they think, I guess, Prius doesn't have the certainly doesn't have the image problem right now about quality that the overall Toyota brand had. But, yeah, they're promising more vehicles. What do you think there's going to be that many takers for hybrids?
I can definitely see it happen. When Prius buyers almost always say they own a Prius. They don't say Toyota at all.
Right.
You know, whereas most people say, well, I got a Toyota Tacoma or I got a Toyota RAV4 or whatever. But they always say Prius. I can definitely see them going off with another brand. I think it would be successful if they do.
And, you know, there's something that we sort of don't talk enough about with all of the electric cars and things like the Volt and all that. The Prius still returns very impressive mileage for its price. I mean, you're talking, you know, low 20s for a vehicle that day in and day out gets almost 50 miles per gallon. That's pretty good.
Was the Honda Civic that they showed, was that production or was that still concept?
It was very close to production.
Thinly veiled concept.
I think it was sport. I think it was very sporty looking.
Coupe and sedan.
A couple different powertrains.
Very evolutionary, wouldn't you say? It looked sportier, but it wasn't a radical departure.
Yeah, and I think it's going to hit dealerships in March or April of this year. So,
yeah, the story we've heard is, of course, that the original new Civic was going to be larger, and that was stopped. And now this vehicle is about the same size, maybe even a tiny bit smaller. They looked bigger than I thought they would look sitting there, but that could just been the environment.
My biggest thing is they just look, sportier.
Yeah. I think that's good.
And especially the sedan. Usually the coupe looks cool, but then the sedan looks kind of lame. But the sedan looked pretty tough, too.
Had a lot of character lines on the side of it.
Very Acura grill kind of up front, though. Almost looked like a TSX.
So you think they'll maintain their best-selling status as far as compacts?
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, I think so.
They say it's the most reliable compact car. Did we forget anything?
Mercedes, the new C-Class.
What was your impression of the new C-Class?
Restyled. I really liked it. It's the interior was beautiful, CLS-like.
The exterior had a lot more style than usually the C-Class does. So we talked about Porsche. We talked about Mercedes. There not too many concepts. We had that curb concept from Hyundai, which was sort of a
could be the
little urban,
like
Seoul-like vehicle. Yeah. And then there was the KV7 from
Kia,
which could be a replacement for it. It's larger than the Honda Element, but it sort of reminded me of the Honda Element. But not very many pure concepts, I guess. In a way, that's what I meant when I said it was a very solid show, and the kind of show that.
Of course, BMW showed up with their one series M coupe.
Yeah, and they also had the new 6 series convertible, yes, which was a beautiful car.
Very beautiful. Top operation on the thing was exquisite. Yeah, it was real nice.
So, and the concept from Mini Cooper, their Paceman,
which will be the 3-door version of the Countryman,
right?
Yes,
of their SUV.
Yes.
And it is, too, apparently going to go into production. Mm-hmm. So mostly production-oriented vehicles at Detroit. I think we may see a little about the same kind of tempo in Chicago and New York, setting the tone for a good year in the industry, but not a fanciful year, not a year to dream, a year to get down to business.
Yeah. Small growth is better than huge gains anyway, I think.
I think that's right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. That was a good survey of the 2011 North American International Auto Show. Oh, before we leave the topic, what did you think about the pick for North American Car and Truck of the Year? North American
Chevrolet
Car of the
Volt.
Year, the Chevrolet Volt. North American Truck of the Year, the new Ford Explorer.
Yeah, I pretty much saw both of those coming. I can't really find anything to argue with either one.
I mean, the Volt is so revolutionary. I think it's,
Do you think the Explorer is going to appeal to the traditional Explorer clientele, or is it now that it's a front wheel and all wheel drive chassis, no separate frame, et cetera, all the things that the old Explorer was?
I don't see. Yeah, I think most of the Explorer buyers didn't even know that it was a full frame and didn't care. I think once they get in and drive it and it's much more enjoyable to drive, I think they'll be fine with it.
Okay, let's move on now to our lightning round, where our Motor Week panelists have the opportunity to share their opinions on topics that are making headlines. In 2 minutes, we will hear the bell from Michelle Parker, our able producer. And this goes along with just what we were talking about. Just 2 years ago, the outlook was bleak for the auto industry. But from what we saw in Detroit, innovation and forward thinking have turned things around. So peer into your crystal ball and tell me what you think the auto industry will be 5 years from now. I'll go one step further. Give me an idea on what the 2016 North American International Auto Show might be telling us.
Well, I'm more of a procrastinator than prognosticator, but I'll...
I can't say either one of those words.
I don't see a whole lot of things changing in 5 years. I mean, I think if there were a big change in 5 years, we'd know about it already. I mean, things kind of move slowly. But I think the biggest thing will just be a lot more electric cars.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be getting the electric infrastructure going. And there might even be some new brands that make strictly electric cars that we haven't even heard of yet.
Yeah, I mean, these manufacturers are spending billions of dollars in research and development. And, I mean, obviously, if they're putting, you know, that kind of money into it, we're going to be going in the plug-in hybrid direction, electrification, all that stuff.
I think almost every vehicle is going to have either standard or first-level mm-hmm. option, some kind of a hybrid or electrified system. I mean, certainly we're going to see the automatic stop-start on everything because it gives you a fairly sizable fuel economy savings, not having a lot of useless idling.
I was going to say, I think one of the important things is getting that infrastructure kind of there that people can because if you live in a townhouse or an apartment complex, I mean, you're limited to what you can plug in.
Correct.
That kind of thing. So
by then, we'll probably see I've already seen a prototype for it, this mat that goes – you lay down, put it on your floor of your garage, and you drive over with your car, and it charges your car, a lot like the cell phone units.
Right. Talk about convenience.
Yeah. So genius. I'm not sure we're all going to – in 5 years, they'll probably say you don't have to plug it in anymore. Just drive it into the right spot.
Maybe we'll figure it out, perpetual motion by then.
I don't know. They've been working on that one for a long, long time, and they quite haven't come up with that yet. And I think we exhausted that. Thanks, Michelle. Well, I think that brings to a close our Motor Week podcast number 48.
No mailbag today.
Okay. We'll pick
t-shirts.
That up on the next one.
Sorry, folks.
But if you do have a question, please get in touch with us at Motor Week through our website. And if your question is picked to be on our podcast, we will send you a Motor Week t-shirt. That's correct. And I want to thank our audio engineer for today, David Wainwright, our podcast creator, of course, Bob Mixter, and our producer, Michelle Parker, the lady with the bell, for all of her hard work in setting this up and giving us our topics and the questions and everything else that makes these podcasts go. So for all of us at Motor Week, I'm John Davis. Thanks very much for listening. And I hope you'll catch Motor Week on your local public television station and also weekly on Discovery's HD Theater. Till next time, happy motoring.
You have been listening to the podcast of Motor Week, television's original automotive magazine. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at motorweek.org. And watch Motor Week, television's longest-running automotive magazine series, each week on your local PBS station.